If you will turn back to Galatians chapter 1. I pray every time the Lord enables me to preach, I'm able to give the context of it. And I want us to remember that this book, this letter was written to the church at Galatia for a reason. The Lord gave Paul these words to write, but there was a reason that he wrote the letter. And that's because there was people in that church with him, brethren intermingled with them, those Jews that professed exactly what these Galatians professed. They professed what Paul preached to them. They professed what we preach here today. Christ did it all. Christ chose a people. He came into this world, born of woman, was the God-man. He lived perfectly, and he swallowed up that justice that was for us in our place. He accomplished it forever. Our warfare is over. They believe that, but then they said, well, these Galatians, these non-Jews, they still need to be circumcised. They put something else on them. They put something else in their hand that needed to be done. So if they put one drop, one work, one drop of leaven in there, was the reason this whole book was written. Paul had to clarify that. He had to address it immediately. And I want us to keep that in mind every time we look in here. It says there in verse 11, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now he's about to tell us how the gospel was revealed to him. He's going to give us a brief summary of it. He's going to show us how a sinner's called, the way the Lord works in people's lives. And this is a pattern for us to look at. Now, each one of us are dealt individually. The Lord comes to us where we are, and he deals with us personally. There's some things we all have in common. I always enjoy hearing the stories of how the Lord brought people to hear the truth. I grew up under the sound of the gospel, and to me it's interesting. I love hearing those stories. I love seeing the Lord work. I love seeing him work now. It's always something for me I'm impressed by. But what was different between the way that Paul was brought to know Christ and the way that the thief on the cross was brought to know Christ? Was there a difference? What was the difference between that thief on the cross and King Nebuchadnezzar? What's the difference between them and me? What's the difference between all of them and you? Is there a difference? The ways may be different, but we all come from different lives, we have different upbringings, different social statuses, but the salvation was the same. The way he used it was the same. So we see there in verse 13, Paul's still in an unregenerated life, wasn't he? It says, "For ye have heard of my conversation," that's his behavior, "in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father." Paul was a famous person. They knew of him. His name was renowned. Turn over to Acts chapter 8 real quick. Acts chapter 8 verse 1, it says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. At that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen unto his burial, and made a great lamentation over him. As for Saul," speaking of Paul, "he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison." Paul wasn't suffering. He was the one making the brethren suffer. He profited. He was moving up that social ladder, wasn't he? I'd say if he had a chariot, it probably had leather seats in it. He was comfortable, and people were jealous of him. Turn over to Psalm 73. There's times that I get jealous. I thought there was a Costco on the hill up here, but I think it's what they call a church. I thought, we're looking for places to shop. You know, I don't want to shop there. Look to what David wrote here in Psalm 73. Again, verse 1. "Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compassed them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. That doesn't sound like my life. I don't know if it does yours. I'm not just, everything's just on easy street. And I don't think a lot of people are jealous of me, but the scriptures tell us that the believer shall have trouble. Trouble is going to come. We've looked at that several times, haven't we? You're going to have troubles. There's going to be some hard times. Maybe not on the outside, but on the inside there will be. But how was my life outside of knowing Christ? What was I like? Did I persecute the church? Did I steal God's glory? I've told you that before. That I had a man tell me one time, he said, well, you grew up under the sound of the gospel. You don't have any grave clothes. And I said, no, I have a grave tuxedo. There's nothing's changed. That nature is not any different. I grew up and heard the truth, but I thought, well, what do I need to do? I want to do something. I want to contribute. I should be doing this more. And I wanted to have an act to perform and steal God's glory. But our Lord is a jealous God, isn't He? He will not share His glory with another. But outside of the grace of Christ, all will perish. Not from works. Outside of Christ. Look down, stay there in 73, Psalm 73, look down to verse 17. Here's David's change of heart. It says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places and canst them down into destruction. How are they brought into destruction, desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with tares. That's what David saw from these people that had it too easy. But that's how Paul was saved. Where he was, that's where I was. When the Lord came to find me, I was comfortable and seeking the glory that God deserves. But when was Paul saved? Was it whenever he was physically circumcised? Like these Galatians were being told they had to be? No, it's when Christ was revealed in him. Look back there in our text, Galatians 1. Galatians 1:15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. It says there, but when it pleased God. Everything happens in its season. And by God's providence, we know that, don't we? I make plans. We had plans of when we're going to arrive here. And we still hope those plans is the Lord's plan. But it'll happen in His time, His season. I can't guarantee anything, but the Lord can. I want, and He does. It's the difference, isn't it? Psalm 102 says that, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time, it's come. The Lord sets a time for these things. He set a time for Paul. He set a time for me. He sets a time for every one of His children to hear the truth of Christ, doesn't it? Peter said, one day is as of a thousand years, and a thousand years is as of a day. So the time to the Lord doesn't matter. We see everything linear. We're ruled by a clock in our day. The Lord's not bound by time. He does it when it pleases Him and when it's best for us and most for His glory. And we're told throughout the scriptures repeatedly to wait on the Lord. Okay. Says there, who separated me from my mother's womb. I know a lot of folks that's in the Lord's providence as well. Physically, they want to have children and aren't able to. And there's some that have several children and don't want to have any more and end up having a couple more. That's not always our intentions don't come to fruition, do they? But it's not just that physical birth only. God is the Lord of providence in all things. providence and creation, both physically and spiritually. Jeremiah said, Clay read this yesterday. When the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet to the nations. Paul was created on purpose. He was born on purpose. But also, Paul was allowed to harass the church, persecute the church, and kill those believers to go after them. The Lord allowed him to do that. Look over in Galatians 4. Galatians 4 and verse 3. Even so we, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. We were in sin. We were unregenerated, weren't we? But when the fullness of time was come, it's in the Lord's providence on His time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. Christ died for sinners while we were still in our sin. We weren't moving upward. We didn't do something to deserve that. We didn't attain a level to deserve merit while we were nothing. While we were dogs, like we looked at last night. That's when He come to us. Romans 5 said, But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it's of nothing of man. There's nothing I did. But it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. Why was that? Look there in our text. Verse 16. To reveal His Son in me. Paul didn't have Christ revealed to him. It wasn't plan A or plan B. He said, Paul, here's Christ and here's the way you want to do it. Now you pick. Which fork in the road? Are you going to go left or right? That wasn't what was presented to him. Christ was revealed in him. If you got a, I don't harp on this often, but if you got a Bible there that says He was revealed to him, get rid of it. Get you a King James Bible or a Bible that says His Son was revealed in me. To reveal something, I think I told you that before. If I had a blanket over that glass of water and I pulled the cloth off and you could see the water, I revealed the water to you, the glass. It was already there. Christ was put in him. And the Spirit came in and quickened him and turned it on, didn't it? It revealed Christ to him. Something was already done. That way it wasn't of man. But Christ has saved him. And then Paul declares what we declare. Christ, Lord, saved me then. He saved me now. And He's the one that has to continue to keep me. He continues to save me. But after His Son's revealed to him, what happens? It says that I may preach Him among the heathen. Now, who did Paul preach? He preached Christ. Who do we preach? We preach Christ. So the saints go from Adam till today. That's the only the message hasn't changed at all. We preach Him. And these heathen that he preaches to, who's that? It's the word means a foreign tribe. Someone that's alienated, right? They're foreign. Colossians 1 says, And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, now hath He reconciled. Now if we're separated from the Lord, He reconciled us. He brought us to that knowledge, didn't He? Some may hear this and not be regenerated. They may hear these words and they may not agree to it in their heart. They may profess it. But Job wrote, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes have seen thee. That's when the Lord quickens someone. He shows them, that uses the Spirit to show them Christ in them. Once He does that, what do we do once Christ is revealed in us? We preach Him and Him crucified. And I always thought that was interesting that Scriptures say that we preach Christ. Now, it was Paul and the other apostles, yes, but right now, we preach Christ. I can stand here and speak. No one was here. Am I preaching? Or if you showed up and I wasn't here, there's no preaching, right? We send forth this word. You all labor to come. You give your time and your money and your efforts, the skills that the Lord gave you to have this building, to gather faithfully. The Lord's made you faithful. And together we send forth this word. And that's through whatever means the Lord decides to use, with sermon audio or helping missionaries or helping another church or praying for them. I think that's underestimated. If we pray for another church, pray for those men that's preaching back in New Jersey this morning and here in California and Kentucky, wherever they are in the world, we pray for them. We preach Christ. We spread forth that gospel that way, together. The Lord's knit us together that way. It says there in Galatians 1:16, to reveal His Son in me that I might preach Him among the heathen. Immediately, I conferred not with flesh and blood. After this, Paul went where the Lord told him and when the Lord told him. He submitted immediately. He didn't confer with flesh and blood. And he did what the Lord would have him to do. There in verse 17, it says, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them that were which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. And afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. These are unfamiliar, hostile territories. And Paul went willingly, happily. The Lord's servants are made willing in the day of His power. Paul was made willing. So we see that he was unregenerated. He was saved. He was given a heart to further the gospel, to follow the Lord. What happens next? In verse 22 it says, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, that they had heard only that which was persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith that he once destroyed. Paul showed up to those brethren. He wanted to honor them, but he knew that the only thing that they had heard of was what he had physically done in this world, the crimes he committed against the church, persecuting the church. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 22. In verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. He held the coats of the men that killed Stephen. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Paul said, Lord, who's going to listen to me? You've saved me. You've found me. You've quickened me. But my reproach to this gospel is great. How could someone listen to Paul after all the things he'd done? That comforts me. How can you sit there and listen to me if you know what I am on the inside, the sinner that I am? The thoughts that I have, I feel distant to the Lord often, the majority of the time. I feel like I don't know Him. How is that possible? How could you be receptive? How could these brethren in Galatia be receptive of Paul? There in our text in verse 24, it says, and they glorified God in me. Is that natural? could you do that? Could they know what Paul was and glorify God in him? Could they choose to do that? Clay knows me pretty well. Our new man gets along perfectly. And our old man gets along pretty good too. You know me. If I stood up here and I told these people who Christ, why would they believe me? The Lord has to do that, doesn't He? He gives that. But who gets that glory? It says, and they glorified God in me, didn't they? Lord, gets glory in natural birth and nature. I heard some stories of children not too long ago that were suing their parents because they were born. They were adults. That's foolish, isn't it? We can laugh about that because that's ridiculous. Because that person had no intention of doing those things, had no ability to. How is that any different? The Lord brought me into this earth. Spiritually, He can bring me into it. Who gets the glory and providence that leads men and women here? When I tell you, I like to hear those stories. Somebody's driving by and they see a sign, don't they? Decide to come in. So there's a church, I'll go listen. Is that a great effort of their part of researching, deductive reasoning, teach them these things? No, the Lord did that, didn't it? Who gets the glory of revealing Christ in a person? He does. Not us. He revealed it in us. Not to us when we chose. In us. Who gets the glory of making one sinner love another one, regardless of their flesh? That's not of us. He gets the glory for that. And who do we glory in all things? Christ. All things. We were dead, unregenerated. Christ revealed Himself to us, in us. We have a heart to serve the Lord. And after that, we don't want to bring any reproach on our brethren or on this gospel, do we? That's the same. That's the same for that thief on the cross. It may have been for 30 minutes. Same for Nebuchadnezzar. Same for Adam. Same for me. Same for Cass. It ain't changed, is it? The Lord found us, came to us where we were, revealed Christ in us. And we want to serve our brethren, serve Him, not bring any reproach on the gospel. So how does that play out with Paul? Let's turn to Acts chapter 9. I'll wrap this up. Paul's conversion. It says there in verse 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and he desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. He was asking for a warrant for his marching orders. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, Paul's conversion was miraculous. It was the way it happened was different than it was for me. He was an apostle. He heard the Christ's voice, saw him in person, didn't he? It was different. But all those elements were the same. Christ came to him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who is Paul going after? Men and women, either or. If any of them believed in Christ, I'm going to get him and I'm going to bring him back to Jerusalem. Christ didn't say, why are you going after my people? That's how one we are with the Lord. He comes to our great defender comes in and says, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? In front of my Bible, I wrote, I don't know who's, one of the preachers was preaching one day, and he said, you get these scriptures, don't look for what you need to do, look for what's already been done. All those things, that's perfect submission right there. The Lord brought Paul down. And he said, Lord, there's nothing for me to do for salvation. What do I do for you? Thank you. What do you? You're the one in control. The Lord speaks to him there in verse 6. Says, arise, go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. He's going to use him. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Now, there were some witnesses there in Paul's life. Those men around him, there was a change that happened. This strong, arrogant Paul that was charging forth with his own plan submitted totally to someone right there on that road, didn't he? And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered the Lord, and said, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. Ananias was worried. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul. Well, we just looked at Ananias and Saul. He knew who Paul was, who Saul was. And the Lord said, He's mine. He's my chosen vessel. Go to him. And did that calm Ananias' fears, didn't he? He walked in and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, and thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. Paul was literally, figuratively walking in sin, wasn't he? He was on that road. The Lord met him. He separated. He caused him to seize Christ, caused him to serve Christ, and caused him to honor Christ. I pray that's for every one of us to see that, see what the Lord's done. That what I was doing, my thoughts of God, my intentions, I thought was right at the time. But God, He came in, separated me, showed me Christ in me. He saved me, He's kept me, and He's given me a heart to serve Him. And if I'm continue to serve Him and continue to honor Him, He has to keep me. And I pray that for you. As the Lord found you where you are, as He showed you that you're unable, unwilling to do anything of yourself, He has come to Him. Ask Him, the Lord have mercy on me. And He will. And He's able to do it and able to keep you after the fact, doesn't He? That's the experience I've read of in the Scriptures. That's the experience I've lived. I was nothing, and the Lord got a hold of me, and He's kept me. He's the only one that's able. And any peace that I have is when I look to Him. Any worry and fret I have is when I look to myself, my experiences, my decisions. It's all of Him. So this day, today is that day. Look to Him. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. If He's kept you, He will continue to keep you. Always look towards Him. All right. Let's pray together. Father, have mercy on us. We're so unable, full of sin, corrupt, and we don't know which way to go, Lord. You have to come into our lives where we are and save us. Show us Christ. Bind us to Him. Keep us in Your grip till the end, Lord. And those that are Yours that haven't heard Him yet, those lost sinners, use us, Lord, to further Your gospel so they can hear. Allow them to hear the One that can save them. Keep them always. Be with their brethren everywhere, Lord. Allow them to have hearts to desire this One that can save. Give them the ears to hear, and be with those pastors as they preach. Give them boldness to declare Your word. It's in Christ's name that we ask it.